You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Yesterday, the Senate voted to pass the resolution to start debating the reform of Obamacare. And prior to that, the old Speaker of the House made a statement that he thought that repeal and replace would never happen, that the Republicans would never vote for it. It's kind of set the stage for, I guess, the next act of this theater that's going on. I personally think that Boehner's right, and I don't think they're ever going to do anything, and this is just a way to placate people. The fact that they can't even get to a point where they can repeal this and everybody be on the same page makes no sense to me. And I think Rand Paul is also right that it's full of giveaways, pork, anything to buy off these senators for a vote. But if they're really truly conservative and they have a conservative agenda, the fact that they're doing the same thing the Democrats did to pass Obamacare is pretty unseemly. The Alaska senator, Maine, I think Louisiana, the other senator, they're getting a ton of money poured into their state to buy their vote. And ultimately, they're not doing their constituents or the rest of the country a service. This is all about keeping the status quo and actually hastening, and I said this before, and I really do believe it still, the advent of single payer. It's ushering it in because it's literally fueling or funding the foundation of Obamacare. Why on earth would you want to put money in an exchange when there, in some states, nobody in the exchange or one insurance company? What's the point of that? It's an absolute waste of money, and it doubles down on the most expensive aspects of our healthcare system. I think ultimately, people need to start asking themselves questions. And the first one I would ask is, will throwing more money into this current system really make it better? We've seen this happen over the past 8 years. Tons of money have been thrown, taken from other programs to boost up Obamacare. And it's going bankrupt. They had to literally get rid of they had a pot of money for catastrophic illnesses at one point for people with, extraordinary needs. They went bankrupt. The trust fund that they had set up was drained. Will anything change if you put more money in that type of system? I say no. And ultimately, what we're going to do is end up taking money from the taxpayer to become the new pipeline to pay for this. And who's got their hands stuck out? The usual players. Just followed the Wall Street, the daily Wall Street money made on these entities, the insurance companies, hospitals, etc. It's an absolute scam. It's just not working. And all the rhetoric about people dying and about how you want people to die, if you have a question about this, it's the same playbook. It never changes. I mean, I don't know about you, Dave, but were you actually surprised that they voted to move forward with discussion about the repeal?
Surprised? I don't know if that's the right word. I'm so upset with Congress and what they have not done. And it just, you and I, we've talked about this before. We can settle the health issue in about 2 minutes. Open it up to capitalism. Open it up to fair trade. Open it up to states being, let me buy wherever I want to buy. End of question. Obamacare is taken care of. And you and I both support the physicians getting tax breaks and also getting their insurance covered if they treat the homeless. Again, yeah. Another problem solved. It's done. Why the idiots, 435 idiots, can't figure it out is beyond me. 535, I'm sorry.
Well, I think the answer is pretty clear. follow the money. The fact that the lobbyists get in there and do their magic with their wallets is a big deal. I think I said this last time I was on with you, but I read an article that says 30 hours a week is what the Congress critters spend trying to get money. That's a full-time job. It's all they do is try to troll for money. And who's got the biggest and the most available money? That's the lobbyists up there. And the top 10, most of them are healthcare related. Nothing will ever change until you clean out that lobby swamp. It's just pay to play is really what it is.
Wasn't that one of Trump's promises to clean up the lobbies?
Well, I don't think he said he's going to clean up the lobbyists in Capitol Hill, just I think within his administration. But ultimately, it's the same thing. That was the reason that we voted for him, is because he wasn't taking big donor money, lobbyist money, so he wouldn't be beholden to them. You know, this whole thing is just a complete structure that is completely broken. Every time you pick a congressman to go into your administration, they bring their baggage with them. I think we're seeing this throughout his administration. I mean, the attorney general was a senator. And he's doing absolutely nothing. I mean, he's doing something. Don't get me wrong. I do agree with getting rid of human trafficking and, you know, strengthening our immigration system and our border. I absolutely agree with that. But the low-hanging fruit of all these people in current and past administrations who've committed crimes are nothing is being done about them. And consequently, it's emboldening them to continue their quest to ruin the country, ruin this administration with impunity. There's more lying, there's libel, there's treason, there's all sorts of things that's been going on and has been unroofed and uncovered, and nothing's happening. I mean, what happened to rule of law?
Rule of law?
Yeah.
So I sort of, I'm not, I don't know where I stand with Trump taking on the Attorney General, but at the same token, I would have thought that we would be having, that the Attorney General would be all over the place at this point.
Uh-huh. I mean, people have admitted that they've leaked classified information.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, that's a crime. What, 10 years in prison? Nothing has happened to anybody. Why? You know, I don't blame them on that. The Russian thing is just total nonsense. But this is concrete. You have a law. You've breached the law. The FISA court has been, even said in terms of the FISA court, things have been done that's illegal. And nothing's done. Look at this Wasserman Schultz IT guy. He gets picked up finally after he knew that they committed crimes. And what's going to come from that, I wonder? I mean, it's just all these things. It's just lawlessness. It is insider trading on Capitol Hill. It is, you know, passing a law. The whole Obamacare law is not valid. It's supposed to begin in the House, and it began in the Senate. You know, so even the way that the bill was crafted and passed was completely, it's not legal. And we just seem to be building one on a house of cards of things that are questionable or grossly illegal, and it doesn't matter. I mean, why isn't anybody saying anything about this? And then when you do speak up, you get shouted down as you're the worst person in the world, or, you know, you're all sort of phobics that, you know, they throw at you. And it just shuts people down. What are the Democrats and Republicans actually doing? I submit that they want the same thing. It's one party. It is, you know, fake opposition to keep the same thing going, whatever that is, you know?
Whatever it is. That's
whatever it is.
That's a good question. I couldn't agree with you more on the one party. You can't tell one set of stripes from the other set of stripes. They all look the same.
No, it's just a different means to the same end. and it's window dressing. And who can be in power to get the most, you know, graft that they can get. And it's really just unseemly while the population, the American population, is suffering. I saw this really interesting, I think it was on HBO, and it was about St. Louis, and the city of St. Louis. It only has 300,000 people left in the city of St. Louis. It was built for about 1 million, and it was about 20 high schools, public schools have been shut down, abandoned. And this is like rotting from the inside. It makes absolutely no sense that you would have, in our country, whole cities, Detroit, St. Louis, just literally dying, ghost towns, while these people mess around and talk about things that Russia or whatever, they could care less about what's really going on in the country. It's how do we stay in power? How do we get back in power? How do we fix it so that the government becomes more powerful? And everything that they touch, it doesn't work, or it's so expensive you get priced out. It's ridiculous, really. And they want more to do the same thing and expect a different result.
Isn't that call being crazy?
It is. It is. While they keep you distracted, while the whole thing is just imploding. The cost of health care, everything the government gets involved with, the cost goes up. I mean, they talked about college, and we know with these student loans and the price of college. As soon as the colleges got their hands on student loan money, the cost of tuition and going and getting educated went up. And you're not getting educated at this point. It's a joke. I mean, either it's social justice warrior stuff, and now in Princeton they're having some sort of new department to control the male behavior. it just boggles my mind. I would never give money as an alumni to things that promote separateness and just stupidity. I won't do it. And this is where we're at in college. It's not even about educating kids anymore. It's about indoctrination. So now it's gone from the high school or grade school. Now it's leaked into the college level. And these people are coming out, and they're not trained to do anything except protest.
Hold a sign. Hold a piece of cardboard.
And do what? They don't even know what they believe in.
Nope.
I mean, the people who were arguing about the election didn't even vote. And they gave, you know, did a survey of the people out there complaining, and they hadn't even voted. This is the, you know, it would be funny if it wasn't so tragic.
Well, it might be funny, but like you said, tragic, and it's what they're causing and the results that they could possibly have on us, on our kids and our grandkids, and mm-hmm. they don't see beyond their nose, and they don't have a clue of what they're doing. With that being said, we've got to take our first break, Dr. George.
Okay, listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your health care choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage, and we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, Dave, what I'm really thinking, what I think really is going on is the creation of chaos on all fronts. You have to, in order to create a new system, you have to break down and get rid of the old system. And the way to do that is to create just absolute mayhem and chaos. And if you really take a step back, it seems like that's what's going on in every facet of our country right now, or at least the attempt to create that. Whether it's the college campus, whether it's the police in the state and cities where they have these riots that go on, and they literally stand down and don't try to stop it. They just let it ride. Whether it's the medical system where you have this pendulum that swung so far to the centralization, corporatization side that it's literally killing patients. I mean, every day I'm hearing stories of people going into the hospital setting and getting just substandard care, no care, getting not even admitted when they should be, having the lowest common denominator medical provider being the front line of care. You know, it's just pretty unbelievable. And there's nothing that's getting done. There's an article that came out about how the hospitals have gotten just rich under Obamacare. And they did it by challenging tax exemption. So, you know, they're now nonprofit, tax exempt, and so they can do whatever they like, but they're still crying poor and getting money from the government to take care of people who are indigent. But they're not. So they get this list of hospitals and how they're making, they've gone tax exempt, so they're not paying any taxes, but they're giving little to no charity care. And that's the whole point of being tax exempt, is that you have to take the people in who can't pay. The government helps pay for it, and that's what you do to get the carrot of tax exemption. They're not even doing that, and nobody's saying a thing about it. You know, so you have these hospitals in these communities. They're literally money drains. They're not paying any taxes. They're not providing services to the people who really need it. When you do actually get in there, they don't treat you properly. They tell you to, you know, follow up with your doctor as an outpatient. You basically don't even get treatment unless you have, I mean, I guess you come unconscious into an ER, you're going to get treatment. But if you have something that they can turf or punt, they're going to do it. And if you do get a consult, chances are they won't be in your network, so you're going to be on the hook for that, you know, lump of money. It's just unbelievable. It's just a money drain. And then again, another way to suck money out of the taxpayer pocket into a system that's getting bigger, but not getting better. I just really think bigger in this instance, and it seems like a truism at this point, bigger is not better. What bigger does is it gets rid of competition. It becomes too big to fail. It becomes dependent on the government dole. And because it can give money to politicians, it's like a never-ending cycle. And again, we're seeing this template throughout the system. You know, Amazon is becoming a monster. They're taking over groceries. They're taking over, you name it. What else are they taking over? I can't even, in delivery services, right? So they don't even, like you described, they don't even use FedEx or UPS. They have their own delivery. And you're absolutely right. I finally experienced it. It's terrible. So, you know, imagine that. Plus they get money, subsidy from the government. Every time they send a package, they get $1.40 subsidy from the government.
That's crazy.
What sense does that make?
None.
I mean, that's just unbelievable. They're making, this guy is the richest, about to be the richest guy in the world, and they have a nerve to get a subsidy for every package that they send through the Postal Service. Does anybody have a problem with that?
Got a big problem with it. Well, I must say, America's Web Radio is not being subsidized. I would venture to say that Peachtree ENT isn't being subsidized.
Nope. We're definitely not too big to fail, that's for sure. But it's this crony scale that's being set up. When you're a friend of the government, you just get to get, you get freebies, you get leg ups, you get subsidies. You never fail because you're propped up by the taxpayer. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Now Amazon is looking into becoming a pharmacy. That's the newest thing I've read. So they're going to become a pharmacy, almost like a delivery service for pharmaceuticals. So you can go on Amazon, get your medication, and then they'll deliver it to you into your house. So what does that do to the mom-and-pop pharmacies? What does that do to the brick-and-mortar? Everything's becoming virtual. And as they do that, the jobs are going to go. They're going to automate. They're going to put robots in. Nobody's thinking about the bigger picture, which is you become superfluous as a person, as a worker, as a freestanding entity that can actually compete against the system. They're always going to be the lowest because they're being subsidized, right? Because they buy out their competition. This is the same template. The whole system is being centralized. It's being automated. It's being run by artificial intelligence in some way. It's just not a good system. When we finally figure this out, it may be too late to reverse this. Whether that's Watson on the healthcare side deciding whether you should get the medication or the treatment because you may not be worthy or it may not be cost effective, or the algorithm says that you're an outlier, and there's no person in that to be a break, to look at the individual, to look at the individual case. That stops.
We won't figure it out. That's the problem. And people don't see, as I see it, and this, I've seen it for years, in fact. This goes back, we're being trained. Every day that we wake up, get out of bed, we're being trained. And it goes back to, my dad was like a small pharmacy. He was an independent businessman, had a business, and if a customer had a major need on a Saturday afternoon or even on a Sunday, my dad would go back, open up, and take care of them. A large competitor came in. Actually, the manufacturer that sold to my dad decided that they could do a better job, and so they opened up a competition with my father.
Mm-hmm.
They were closed on Saturdays. They were closed on Sundays. The store manager wouldn't do anything for his customers. My dad had been doing it for years,
mm-hmm.
And this is what we're being trained, though, that if you don't get it on Friday, then you're not going to get it Saturday or Sunday. And the small pharmacy, the independent pharmacist that we deal with, by the way, they've been competing with the large box stores, they've been competing with everybody, and yet they're the ones on the front line that'll take care of you when you most need it. The big pharmacies, the big box stores, they're not going to take care of you. They could care less. If you don't buy from them, that's okay. They got plenty of other people that are buying from them and have been trained to buy from them. That's the key.
That's true. And then what you're buying is not the same quality.
No.
So we did this, the Walmart model is what we've been used to. And you're right. Whether that's the the corporate urgent care, who has a different price scale than the independent urgent care, because it's based on the hospital charges, whether it's, you know, we talked about Amazon and the fact that they're literally Pac-Manning everything that they can get their hands on. We have the insurance companies that have gotten rid of their competition with the small regional insurance companies. They've gotten rid of even the Blue Crosses used to be based on different states, you know, Georgia or North Carolina or whatever. Well, they're all now Anthem, pretty much all of them. So that's been bought out by the major player, which is extremely mercenary, I might add. And it's the same thing. You're absolutely right. But you get what you pay for. And in this instance, in the healthcare instance, it's the opposite. With marketing and Walmart, the price went down. But in healthcare, the price has gone up in this instance. So it's actually cheaper for you to stay local, to go to the local physician, the local urgent care, the non-corporate doctor, than it is to go into that system. And somehow, well, I know how they did it, because it's price. There's no price transparency. So at least with Walmart, you know a price because they're going to list it or they're going to run a sale or whatever. But in the healthcare system, there is no price transparency unless you go to a small independent doctor or system. The major system is completely opaque. They make the charges up as they go along. They fight tooth and nail to make the patient pay, even when it's sometimes not indicated, or they double bill, or, you know, there could be some issue that's going, even that honest mistake, they're never going to admit it. They're just going to go after you tooth and nail. So what we still need to do is educate patients that there is, you need to be a consumer. You shouldn't settle for what they tell you the standard of care is. You should get a second opinion. You should start becoming savvy. If you know that you can go on a website like jointhewedge.com or aapsonline.org or my website, and you can start to look at alternative treatment options, you know, take that information with you to the hospital, you know, of Surgery Center of Oklahoma, and show them, hey, this is how much it's supposed to cost. Either you meet this or I'm not coming to you. That is the only way at this point, I think, that we can make a change. You have to do it with your own pocketbook. You have to vote with your own feet, because the government is so entrenched, and that the parts of the government, the Congress, is so entrenched in the status quo, it'll never change if we expect them to do it for us.
That's for sure, without question. And again, your statement, which you've said now for as long as you've been on the air, follow the money.
Yeah, that has been the basic, unchanged statement. I mean, I've had hope about the healthcare system getting better. I've had hope about going up to Congress and trying to, you know, plead the doctor's case, all of that. That's basically, I wouldn't say it's completely gone, but it's leaving. But that's never changed. The money is the key. But we need to let people know or out the fact that these guys are working for somebody else and not us. I don't know if you heard John McCain on the floor yesterday, but he basically just said exactly what they all think about us. Forget about, you know, the alternate media. Forget us. Forget the people. We should go back to do what we always do. It's all about us. We run this show. It's basically what he said in his little diatribe. Well, that's what they've been doing while they lie to us and tell us, put us back in and we'll work for you. They don't work for us.
With that, we got to stop for a break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual, and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, before the break, we're talking about the fact that Congress has complete, you know, disdain, contempt for the American people. And they are not in the habit, or at least they haven't been, as far as I can remember now, of working for us. This is an agenda that they are really, really hell-bent on pursuing, like they were pursuing open borders and having everybody and their mother come into the country, or having our healthcare system become a single payer. Again, here the single payer proponents are coming out of the woodwork again, talking about single payer. Ultimately, I do think the Republicans want the same thing, because it's all about control of 1/6 of the economy. And if you really read the Senate bill that they had online, hopefully all that crap will be stripped out and they will really vote, I hope. And, you know, hopefully Rand Paul is going to hold the line and put things in that's actually going to break this system. But they were talking about an $8 trillion trust fund, or slush fund is more like it, to access, to basically pay off senators to vote for this, or states to subsidize their Medicaid, or the insurance companies to subsidize them, with the hope that they're going to lower premiums or lower out-of-pocket costs for patients. It's never going to happen. What they will use it for is to buy up other, what's left, there any left, other insurance companies, or somehow, you know, enrich themselves at the expense of patients. That's what's been going on for 8 years. We talked about the hospitals, how they've gotten richer under Obamacare. Well, the insurance companies have done the same thing. So from dozens to five major insurance companies, and thank goodness the government stopped, the administration stopped the further consolidation, because they wouldn't let Aetna and Humana join together. And Cigna was, thank God, not bought out by Blue Cross, because that would have been the end of of any choice and any cost control that's involved with the insurance market. But, you know, this is not in a vacuum, actually. I read a comment by a patient or somebody on a website. Did you know that there's something called the McCarran-Ferguson Act? Do you know what that is?
You know, I should and I don't.
Okay, well, it means that the insurance companies have a carve-out, and they have a carve-out from antitrust, which is the genesis of all the nonsense that we've been facing. I always thought, hey, how come they can get together and basically collude to set their premiums and what they'll cover and all sort of stuff? Well, because they're allowed to, based on this McCarran-Ferguson Act. If you should look it up on Wikipedia, that needs to be repealed, because as long as they have that power, then they have an ultimate leg up on keeping prices high, on working with each other against the doctor and the patient to make themselves immune They can do whatever they like. No one can ever come after them. They can, you know, decide to ignore their own rules as to what gets covered from a pre-certification standpoint, and no one can come after them. It's like they're isolated and insulated from the usual standard business practices. Now I understand why they're like that. I was shocked when I read this. And this is an example of the uneven playing field that we're talking about. Doctors can't even tell each other what prices we charge in our office because that's against antitrust. That's amazing. But they can do it, but we can't. I mean, there's something's got to change. And I just don't think it's a legislative fix. I think that doctors need to get away from the insurance market, get out of the hospitals, open up their own practices, and deal with patients directly. That's the alternate system that needs to grow in order to break this monopoly that's being formed against us as doctors and patients. And that's really what's going on. And, you know, there's so many things that can be done. This whole theater about we're going to vote to repeal, you know, start the repeal process is a joke. I say leave Obamacare alone, let it stand the way it is, it's dying anyway, and promote free market solutions. You know, if this goes to the way it's designed to go, a third of the country will be on Medicaid by the end by about 2030. I think it's 2027. A third, 100 million people will be on Medicaid. That is the infrastructure for single payer. While they're wasting time talking and lying people, talking about Medicare for all, it's actually Medicaid for all is what they want. That is the worst iteration of government insurance. Medicaid recipients are really not getting the same standard of care as a commercial insurance member or a Medicare member.
You know,
there's no doctors really to take care of them.
You know, Dr. George, it comes back down to education. I was with a gentleman yesterday, highly educated, an attorney, as a matter of fact. And of all people, didn't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid.
Are you kidding?
No. And he thought that Medicaid was strictly if you had a disability.
Mm.
Otherwise, you've got Medicare. I sat there and without laughing, explained it to him, and then was internally shaking my head the whole time. And this is not a dummy. And I'm thinking, my God, if he doesn't know, how many other people don't know? And I listened to stuff on television, about immigration and about this and about that and what's happening. And these people, these bubbleheads that are talking, they don't have a clue about what they're talking about. And this is as I see it, and you and I have talked about it on and off, Mike, many times, is education and the public. It's just like when you were speaking then. I guarantee you that 99% of the country has no idea the acronym CON, what it means today.
Mm-hmm.
You and I got a good idea. We know what happens with CON, Certificate of Need.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say 99% of the population, probably 99.9% of the population, has no clue. We have to educate.
It's true. It's very true. And for those on the show who don't know what it means, it is the certificate that allows the creation of a surgery center, it's a surgery center in a community that can be competition to a hospital. In Georgia, they actually had a moratorium on certificates of need for years. And because the hospitals were saying they couldn't survive with the competition. And what happened over that course of time is the hospitals either bought out the independent surgery centers or they went out of business. And here in Atlanta, there's only basically maybe three independent surgery centers, and there were dozens before. I was able to take a patient to about four different surgery centers back in the early 2000s. Now I have only one choice, and that's very limited at this point. And I'm being forced in some instances to take the patient to the hospital where I know that the cost is going to go up tenfold at least what it would be on the independent surgery center comparison. Not only that, the government is also taking a swipe at them because they could actually get paid less than the hospitals for procedures. So the allowed amount that's given to a surgery center, ambulatory surgery center, is less than what's paid out to a hospital. So their lobby groups have been extremely busy, extremely successful at getting rid of their competition, crying poor, having the pie, disproportionately given to them, and they still never pass it to the patient. It's like the colleges. You know, they get all this money from the government. How come the tuition never goes down? How come the price of CTs and labs never go down? How come, you know, you're spending more, but you're getting less? You're not seeing a doctor in a lot of instances. You're seeing a mid-level provider, and you're still paying through the nose. Where's your cost savings? Where's the economy of scale? It never happens. But somebody's getting the money. You know, a 3,000% administrator rise in the hospital setting compared to doctors is not providing better standard of care. Bigger is not better. Patients need to understand that. And let's go to Medicaid, for example. If you expand 100 million people into the Medicaid system, let's think about this critically. Right now, there's not enough doctors to take care of anybody, but especially Medicaid patients, because on a private setting, nobody can afford to see them. The allowed amount, you know, the reimbursement is terrible. The patients, let's face it, I'm going to be honest, the patients don't come. So maybe you might have 10 Medicaid patients on your schedule. Two may show up. So you have a system where it's built on that. You're not going to stay in business very often or very long. And on top of that, the standard of care is completely, it's non-existent. The major hospitals, Cleveland Clinic, I think Mayo Clinic, and I think there's other ones that have probably come online and said the same thing, is that they don't want to see Medicaid patients anymore. They're not prioritized because they're not being paid. So they're not going to end up in those, you know, tertiary specialized systems. They're locked out, and they got locked out on the Obamacare, for that matter, where the Obamacare recipients were not being seen in major cancer centers. So tell me that that's an awesome standard of care, that you're relegating. You want to expand that. That's a good thing, that there's a two-tier system of health care. People should talk to those senators who want to expand that in their state instead of allowing people to the freedom to go to a commercial insurance plan, to go to using their health savings accounts, to go to medical cost sharing. But no, you want them to be locked into this system where they get less care than you ever will as a senator or a congressman. That's obscene. But you're telling people you love them. That's the reality. The medications aren't covered. There's no private doctors to see them. And we're in a position in Georgia, I didn't realize this, I just told this yesterday, that a lot of pediatricians are not seeing Medicaid peach care patients. Their roles are closed. Unless you have a sibling in their system, they're not open for new patients. So where do those kids end up? They end up in the ER. You want to put more kids on that system? Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, this is the reality. They're trying to tell you how awesome it is, and it's not working. And it hasn't worked for many years, mind you, but now it's really gone to the end point. But they want to funnel more money into that system. The fact that $40 million is going to be going to Alaska so they can expand their Medicaid, It's just unseemly.
Dr. George, I got to interrupt you on that. We've got to take a break. We'll be back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Alana George right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, truth hurts. And the fact that your people who have questions about expansion of Medicaid are being demonized, are being ostracized, are being told that you want people to die without regard to knowing exactly what it means to be on Medicaid in our country. This is what it means. You're not going to see a private doctor on average. You're going to be in a clinic setting if you're lucky. But what really is probably going to happen is you're going to be getting your care through some sort of emergency room because nobody, there's either the wait is too long or there's no openings. That's the reality. And they want to double down on that. That's your single payer, folks. It's not Medicare. It's not a commercial plan. It's this. And once they get that grid in place, my prediction is that they'll start making doctors become part of this system. They've already mentioned it once before and it got shot down. But I'm sure they will try to tie your licensure to taking Medicaid, Medicare, government insurance, Obamacare, if it still exists. That's how they're going to get us roped into a system. And good luck getting a doctor who doesn't want to do something to be your caregiver. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't want a doctor who's not into me, who doesn't want to take care of me, who resents the fact that they're being forced to do something. I'm sorry, but that standard of care is not something that anybody should have foisted on them. I mean, you get what you pay for. Medicine is not a right. It's a service. A right means that it's a slave relationship, the doctor to the patient, where the doctor will be forced to do whatever the patient and the government wants them to do. You will not get good doctors in a system like that, ever. Who would want to work in a system like that? It's almost like that now. That's why people are leaving or committing suicide or, you know, basically not even going into the profession at all because you've had this Bigfoot of the government inserting itself into the doctor-patient relationship. You've had insurance companies becoming more powerful, too big to fail, and they completely run the show. They're even practicing medicine, you know, by default at this point, with impunity. You know, where do we stand in this? Why do you get up every morning and go to work when somebody, you have to beg to take care of your patient? That doesn't make sense. I mean, we now need, as doctors too, to speak out about what it really means to be a physician. It's not driving a big car and having autonomy. It's none of that stuff. Never was, but that's the perception. But it's actually, it's onerous. You're put upon. You work around the system. You try to push it out of your way. But eventually, you're not going to want to do this, and you don't do it. And the good people are literally drying up, leaving, burnt out, resentful, and, you know, at some point you really will just have a robot taking care of you, you know, the way the system is going. It's kind of interesting. It's just the monetization of the doctor and the patient at this point. It's on speed at this point. Did you know that there's IT companies out there that are creating kiosks where you can see a virtual doctor, you know, virtual reality, and you can get your prescription written, get it dispensed from the machine. You never even have to, no one's ever going to touch you. No one's even looking at you face to face. And that's the future of healthcare, according to some of these IT folks who thinks that they've got this, they've got the ultimate answer. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I mean, did you know about that?
No.
Yeah, well, that's the future. That's really what's going on. Telemedicine is just the beginning. They have whole kiosks where it's just pharmaceuticals that are being dispensed. And this is all the future. And all of this, you just watch the IT market. Health information technology is just, they believe that's the future of medicine. I think it shouldn't be. And as long as we stand back and let this unfold, this is the end point. We'll just be the means to writing the prescription, because all our decision making will be done by something else. It's not a good system.
You know, I was just thinking that the time is coming, in my opinion, that your doc in a box won't really be a doc in the box. It'll be a machine in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you go through the TSA, or you and I don't go through it, but the x-ray machine that you go in and the thing whirls around you, and then you walk out and supposedly you don't have a AK-47 on you or something. But
yeah,
if you're sick, you'll go into a doc in the box that they call it. You'll walk into a machine. It'll circle around you twice and come out, and you'll pick up your prescription and a bill for $50. You'll never see a doctor.
It won't be $50, though. It'll probably be a lot more than that.
Probably. But, you know, it'll be totally automated, and you'll have some doctor in Wisconsin looking at the results of you walking through this machine or standing there and being x-rayed or whatever all it's going to do for you. It takes your temperature, your blood pressure, everything done at one time, and you'll be given a prescription for the sniffles or prescription for this or for that, and then walk out, or you'll be told, we can't handle it here, you need to go someplace else.
Yeah, exactly. It's the depersonalization, you know, the conveyor belt style medicine, one size fits all. You know, it's not, I mean, maybe it works for some people, but it's not medicine. But you become, again, a cost center. It's a monetization, you know, automation. So somebody's making this money. You get rid of all the labor, and you just—it's a direct pipeline of your money to the machine, to the person who owns it. But are you really getting better? What happens to the diagnoses that they miss? What happens to the strange presentation of something? What happens to just—you don't need the medication; you just need someone to actually talk to you. That's all gone. But again, it's all—it's a complex. You need to have the disease, you have to have the medication, you have to have the means to deliver the diagnosis so that everything just moves. You want everybody's working in tandem on this point. Well, from a company standpoint, the hospitals are there to treat the patient, not admit them if they can help it. Just get them in the ER, make the money, get them out to the outpatient setting or the office setting. So you're not using your own materials. Because if you admit them, then you have to use your materials. So you want them out of the hospital, get as much money as you can up front, have them treated in the hospital setting, or I should say the office setting, the accountable care organizations, where you own the doctors because you're paying their salaries. But that's a finite payment, right? Their job is to treat the patient virtually if they can, because, again, the more money they keep in their HMO, or I should say their capitation pot, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. But basically, the hospital has money per year they get from the government. They make their profit by denying services, because the more services they use, they have to use that money, that pot that they have. So their objective now is to have the patient come in, get the money through the ER, send them out to the doctors who are their the doctors on staff who have offices. It's in the doctor's interest now to treat the patient by telemedicine or anything that they can do to keep them out of the office, because the less staff, the less material they use, then they get to keep the money at the end of the year. So now we're in a position where you don't really want to treat the patient who's got a major medical problem, because you lose money on that. You want ambulatory, you want short visits or virtual visits, and that's how the system is being set up. Anything else you want, if it's a catastrophic thing, you want to maybe get them into hospice, get them into skilled nursing, get them out of the hospital as fast as possible. Or, as my colleague Dr. Dorio has put it, something called comfort care is what they're offering now, which is a euphemism for euthanasia and hospice. So you have to watch the terminology as the patient and the family member as to what they're saying. And he used this really interesting example of somebody came in with something that wasn't life-threatening, urinary tract infection or something really innocuous. You can treat the patient, they can get better. And that person was put on comfort care. Family didn't even understand what the heck that meant. But this is the system that we're living in. You need to be there. And he recommended that if you do get admitted or your family member, that you go there with a yellow legal pad, write down everybody's name, what they do, everybody who interacts with your loved one, ask them questions, because if you don't, you may not end up in a good situation. That's tragic, but that's what medicine really is now, thanks to Obamacare. And they standardized it. They quantitated it. They have great little cute names for it, meaningful use and, you know, accountable care organizations. They sound really benign and innocuous, but what they really do is put in place a grid, a methodology for how you get patients to, how do you triage patients so that you're going to spend money on the ones that are really ill, you don't, and the ones that are, you know, well enough to work, well enough to get a medication every day and, you know, use the system, you want to prioritize them because you're making money on them. It's not health care. It's control.
You know, you have, from my standpoint, it has to be both the patient and the doctor that start standing up to this. You didn't go to school to watch a TV screen and diagnose. You went to school to touch and render aid and help that patient get better, be with that patient, talk to that patient. I can't believe the doctors that will fold their tent and say, well, I'll sit behind my desk and diagnose from my desk. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, remember, the education of doctors has changed, just like the education of our students. It's not about that anymore. It's become a team approach. You know, you're a member of the team. You know, you're beholden to the almighty hospital and the bottom line and the dollar. And the education now is, if a senior comes in or somebody with a catastrophic illness, that you should make them comfortable. They lived a good life, that they're taking resources from somebody else. That's the complete live system. People should Google that and read that, because from age 14 to 40, basically, is where all the healthcare effort should be placed in this type of system. If you fall outside that system, then you shouldn't have a lot of healthcare resources spent on you, because it's not worth it. You're not worth it. That's the mindset. That's how they're educating our medical students now. As I said, and Dr. Orion has said, these medical schools, some of them don't take the Hippocratic Oath, and the Hippocratic Oath has changed. You can perform abortion. You can perform a euthanasia. You're playing God in this new Hippocratic Oath, where it never was allowed in the old one.
Dr.
So
George,
if, once you educate them, they get that.
We're out of time. I hate to say it.
But it, time goes fast, but thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.